11:11, make a wish. Good morning. 11:11 a.m. on Friday the 24th. January 2014. Yeah, it's a bit screwed up this morning. Yesterday was a bit of a day. It was quite a bit of a day. I had to make... The hospital is over in Loveland, so it's about 20 miles from here to there, which on a good day is 18 minutes, perhaps a little less. A large portion of the distance is flat plains driving 65 miles an hour. And most people go 75 or 80. So it's not that far in terms of time, 20 miles. But I had to make the trip four times in the snow. The first one at 5 o'clock in the morning. And it wasn't a difficult drive. It was just one of those... Oh, I hope I don't crash. Because you know you're on a timeline, you know you're on a time limit, you know you've got to be there by a certain amount of time. Did I not leave enough? $18.20 on the first half. That's slow, but it also has, there was a good portion of snow on the ground. The footing is terrible, except in a very few places where people got out and shoveled yesterday. So, yeah, it was cold. We got home, it was cold. It was 10 or 12 degrees most of the day. I think it did get up to 25 in the middle of the afternoon, but yeah, it was a cold day. It was a snowy day. It was a day where I didn't plan to do anything except play taxi and take care of a sick wife. So that's basically what I did yesterday. She's home today, so recovering nicely. The laparoscopic incisions are small. There are a couple, three of them. So she's doing well. She's as doing well as we expected, probably better than I would be at this point. I certainly would not be out walking. Had it been me. But I had my share of surgery last year, so it's only fair. That's not the way I meant it, but I suppose. Anyway. So today's Friday. I've been working on half share paper edits. I did most of the bulk of these. Most of them are just slipping right by because they're contractions, where I put the contractions back in bulk with a find and replace. There's some contractions I've missed, but most of them just zip right in. There's only a few words here and there that when I was reading it, I thought, that's not right. That's hokey. So I'm fixing a few words here and there as I'm going through. I'm about, I want to say about a third of the way. And probably just about a third of the way through the book. If I can stay awake. God, I'm so tired. If I can stay awake today, maybe I can get a bunch done this afternoon while Madam is napping. It has warmed up even since I've been out here. I came out, it was about 30 degrees, but it feels much warmer than that now. I was able to push the heavy hood back. Of course, part of that is that I've worked up a bit of body heat inside the coat, so that's helping to keep me warmer. there's a melting on the road. It's supposed to be 50 today. I got a long way to go to make 50, but stranger things have happened with the sun up and shining brightly. 50 degrees is possible. We're talking 60s tomorrow. So I'll have to go out before it gets too warm, I guess. Not exactly sure how that's going to work, but one day at a time. One day at a time. So I've been reading more of Sam Hunt's Whirlwind and a Thorn Tree. Yeah, this is a guy to watch, no kidding. It's very, there are a couple of places where he makes some stumbles. I'll have to say that. There's a few places where, this may not be as clear as it might have been. I think I found a continuity error, but I'm not sure, so I'm not going to get too upset about it. The story itself is lovely. I'm enjoying it greatly. It's, you know, it's asking, in addition to being a ripping yarn, as they say, that's also doing some sort of, what does this all mean, kinds of questions that the character is being forced to ask in relation to his identity, his relationship with his father, and all of this, which I thought was really quite good. Because it's perfectly natural, it's perfectly in character, it's perfectly believable, in spite of the fact that it is a completely fantastical world. So it's great fun, I'm just enjoying it. And it's a good thing I had it yesterday, because I read for like 4.5 hours at the hospital before my battery gave out. I have kind of lost track of... Hi. Oh, hello! Did you mean to do that? Did you mean to do that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm coming over there.
I was going to hand it back to you, but if you're coming anyway... Guy with the shovel... threw it over the fence, and I thought, what the hell? He's coming over to shovel his walk. Yay. Anyway, so yeah, 20/20 hindsight, I should have taken the charging cable and a wall plug. Because there were plenty of wall plugs I could have plugged in. Could have charged up and kept reading. As it was, I was reduced to watching Price is Right. Drew Carey. Yeah, that was depressing. That was significantly depressing. It's like, okay. I suppose part of it is I lose track of exactly how privileged I am. So one of the questions, one of the little pricing challenges was a woman who had to figure out, who had to choose for a 6-night, 7-day stay in beautiful New York City with airfare from Los Angeles plus some tours, whether the price for that would be $5,000 or $7,000. And I'm looking at her going, seriously, this is a question? But apparently it was, and 7,000 of course was the correct answer, and she did get it, but that was a bit, really? And now thinking about it, it's like, yeah, well, I fly a lot. I know how much things cost in New York, and people in California might not. So, yeah, privilege. This is what privilege does. So that got me thinking about policy, public policy. The explosion of indictments lately for various and sundry legislators and state executives and stuff. It's like, seriously? So I find it a bit disappointing. I find it a lot troubling. And then I started thinking about, well, okay. If one of the things that I was trained in my master's program was system analysis, and specifically Monkpo, systems thought, that is thinking about things as systems that are not static, that and all systems share some characteristics. They're complex, they have interlocking parts, and changing one part has an effect on all of the other parts. So you push here, it pops there. You pull here, it pushes in there. And so it's like whack-a-mole. You slap this one down and another one pops up. And I started thinking about that in terms of public policy. And in the U.S., there's actually this really only one problem. It's kind of stupid, I know, but there is really only one problem, and it isn't directly the economy. It isn't directly education. The direct problem is poverty. And there are too many people who are living in poverty. And as a result, consumer demand is down. With consumer demand being down, then production stays down. All sorts of production, not just manufacturing production, but food production and automobile production and housing and all the rest. All the things that go into making the economy vibrant and active. And it wouldn't be so bad if with 99% of the nation's wealth owned by the 1% at the top, if there was actually a viable middle class, so that there was in fact enough left over for the people in the middle. And the reason that there isn't is that there's too much poverty. It isn't, well, in part it is because rich people have too much, but as one of the rich people who has too much, it's like, yeah, well, because oddly, through the dint of a lot of luck, I find myself in the top, I don't know, 10% or something of the country in terms of income, our household income. It's not just me, it's we. But that means that there's a lot of people who are living very close to the edge or under it. And so it's an interesting question. It's like, well, okay, well, how do we solve poverty? How do we solve it? And the answer is money, which it seems like kind of stupid. It's like, okay. It's like asking a coach, what are you going to do to win the game this week? Score more points than the opponent. Yeah, the answer is money. The question is, where do you get the money? And how do you distribute the money? And I really think, because I've seen a couple of articles on it recently about minimum income. Not minimum wage, minimum income. Whether you work or not, people of a certain age get X dollars from the government. It's not going to be a lot. It's not going to be a huge amount. And it's not going to be, you know, it's not going to be, probably not going to be enough to live on by yourself. But two or three people together, pooling their resources, could bootstrap quite nicely. And where did the money come from? Would be, well, if we did away with food stamps and took the money that it took to administer food stamps and applied that to the pool, then Dan Sawyer suggested taking some of the lease money from public lands public lands for the public good and applying that, much in the same way that states like Alaska and Wyoming do for their populace. Well, we did it on a national basis. And, well, we're spending $1 billion a week in Afghanistan, so bring those guys home. Save the fuel costs of trucking them around, patching them up, ammunition expenses, etc. That would be a pretty significant amount of money for a little while. You know, I realize $1 billion on a federal level is not really serious money. But there's 350 million people in the U.S., 210, 220, I'll call it 200 million adults over 20. If you took all the welfare programs and did away with them and took the cash instead and just gave it to people, then we'd have everybody saying, well, it's just socialism, it's just communism, we tried that before. It's like, no, not really, because that's not communism, because it's like everybody gets it. Rich guys, poor guys, everybody. $15,000 a year. $1,200 a month, I don't know. Well, we don't want to have that. Have to have that many kinds of payments. We're gonna make a payment. Once a year you get a check. Maybe with your income tax. If all your income tax, if you didn't make enough money, and you take away $15,000, you have a $15,000 credit with the IRS. If you owe more than $15,000 in tax, well, you pay the extra. If you don't owe $15,000 in tax, you get it refunded. It could work. I don't know how many. 15 times 200. 15 times 200 million. $1 trillion. Yeah, okay, that could be serious money. How much are we spending now? I don't know. I have no idea. But I keep thinking, you know, if we're looking for, if we take the system approach, if we take this idea that the problems that we're facing are not just, well, teachers are bad or need training or schools are falling down or the roads are falling apart or whatever. And if we look at some of the experiments that they've done with minimum incomes, they're really quite staggeringly effective in terms of improving the lot of the lowest tier without costing the upper tier a whole lot. By boosting that lower tier, by bringing up the middle class, by moving them higher into good fortune, for lack of a better term, giving them a leg up the socioeconomic ladder, the benefits to the society as a whole are potentially pretty staggering. Too many kids are in poverty, so they don't get enough to eat, so they go to school hungry or beaten or otherwise stressed. There aren't enough people buying goods, so the economy is sort of stagnant. Bailing out the rich guys, that always has seemed kind of counterproductive. I don't know, I apologize for my foray into economic theory, but this actually plays into a lot of what I'm thinking about in terms of the next series of books. So it's one of those, okay, how do we deal with some of this other side of the economic coin? We have the golden age on one side, but what's on the other side? How does that work? How does that look? What's the fundamental theory behind it? So yeah, I've been thinking a lot about that. It's going to be a while before I get to it, but I've been thinking about it, trying to lay the groundwork in my mind so that when the time comes, I'll be ready. Well, Endomondo is probably not going to tell me that I've made 2 miles just because it got all screwed up when I started. And it's probably 18 minutes, maybe even 19. I'm just poking this morning because I'm so tired. Really tired. But I am at the back gate. Tomorrow is another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.